Welcome back, everybody, to the Try Out of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to talk about Star Wars and do deep dives at that and other nerd-related media. I changed the intro a little bit, but who cares? It's the holidays. We're getting there. Let's play fast and loose with the rules. Before we get going, those calls to action, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, hit the follow, leave us a review, leave us a comment, do all those things to help the channel out. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. So thank you for doing that in advance. And if you're on YouTube, hit that bell for notifications, I guess, even though I don't do it. So I'm not going to begrudge you if you don't do it. But anyway, whatever you do, we'll definitely appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Happy holidays, everybody. Hope everyone had a very happy Thanksgiving. And as we move forward to the other holidays for everybody, like, we're going to start winding down a little bit. How serious Triad of the Force is going to be. We're going to take it easy a little bit. So today is it's our BS episode. We might reach the topic that we actually were originally going to talk about, because it is a very interesting topic. We wanted to talk about the Great Mothers, the Night Sisters of Dathomir, that have made their triumphant return on the Ahsoka series, which we really enjoyed, and I thought it was a very pleasant surprise, which is why, like, I was very excited to talk about it with Mo, since Mo is a big fan of the Night Sisters. Isn't that right, Mo?
Absolutely. You know, Night Sisters bring the spice to Star Wars. You know, it's like you have the main ingredients. You know, you have the light force, dark force, the dark side force. But then all of a sudden, you have this like magical aspect to you. Which seems to be part of the Force, but at the same time, its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just spices things up a little bit. Like, it reminds us of, like, that Han Solo thing. Like, once you think you know what the Force is, like, you always have to go back. And yeah, that's not how part of the Force, but I love that it's green. You know? It brings, there's a sense of, like, nature. There's also a sense of like green is associated with like something like so much like emotions of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's connected to the idea that they're reaching out. Like there's whether they're coven. Like it's mm-hmm. not just, you know, you do have the mothers, but it spreads out. It's like community, of course. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. My sisters, they rock.
They do. And I think that one of the interesting things about them was kind of how unexpected they were, like, in the show, because there were lots of theories that Morgan Elsbeth was a Night Sister because she had the little tattoo and dressed in red, and like there were hints, right? But then to see them kind of come back in the way that they did with the Great Mothers and going to Peridia and like kind of reshape the mythos, I guess, to not just bring back the familiar, right? Because obviously we've seen Night Sisters a lot in the Clone Wars and Asajj Ventress and all these things that like we've grown to know and love, but then to give us that and spice it up, you know, and be familiar, comforting, but new, because these weren't like the Night Sisters that we've been used to seeing. And I feel like that was a breath of fresh air. And before we get going into that, I feel like Star Wars and life in general should be like that, right? We always want that flavor of the familiar. But we also need to have variety, excitement, change, renewal, and all these things that I think are very hard to come by the older we get somehow. Like, you think that the older you get, you have like more freedom to change and to explore other things and to be dynamic, but somehow I feel like it's very counterintuitive in that way. Like, the more freedom you are allowed to have, the less of it you exercise. And we were just talking about that a little bit. Do you agree or disagree with that statement? This is like where the BS episode starts going off the rails,
which is interesting, because as you were saying it, like, perhaps it's the other way around. The illusion of freedom increases as we get older,
mm-hmm.
but our actual freedom decreases. I mean, I guess, like, if you think about it, that
mm-hmm.
as children, imagination is runs our life. Like, you can be in the most boring room, and if you're a kid less than 5 years old, you're probably gonna have a blast. You're gonna use your imagination to be somewhere else. Like, you're free. Like, on the other hand, we as adults kind of like develop the illusion that we're free. Because now we can, okay, yeah, I can leave the room. But to what? To a certain like segment role that we've come to choose, like, or even has been imposed on us. Like, you know, we grow up, they give us certain set of tools, and it's not like they get updated unless we make active efforts to update
those tools.
Like, we just get stuck on them. So, like, I agree with that sense with you, like, we just become robotic in that sense.
It's weird, and it's weird, and even though, right, we're talking about like this, it also has resonance with Star Wars, right? Because I feel like Star Wars also has run through that cycle where, like, we thought that because George Lucas isn't involved anymore, that storytelling was gonna have like all this freedom. But, like, okay, now we're not limited to what George Lucas wanted. Now we can tell whatever stories are available to us. And it hasn't, like, the more freedom, like, it kind of has had, the more it's restrained itself. And I think Solo, A Star Wars Story, and The Rise of Skywalker exemplify that the most. This is, like, how this just tell safe stories that just resonate with the familiar and doesn't shake the cage too much. And I feel like our lives are that way, too. It's interesting. It's interesting for sure. Because a lot of those things are self-imposed. Restrictions that we put on ourselves. I mean, that's a redundant statement, but it's worth noting for sure, because we were talking about it, like, before recording. We kind of look back at some of our peers from the past that we've known before, and how it's very interesting how the more time passes, the less interesting some people become, because they just lock themselves in, like, these cycles, right? And to use right to use a topical concept, right? Loki season 2 is over, so to use a topical concept, so they're in their own Ouroboros loop, where they're just like eating their own tails, just being the same people running around in these same situations, talking about the same subjects, and it's very interesting, because we do that to ourselves. And how I wonder if sometimes are we willing participants sometimes in these cycles that we're subscribed to, or are we unaware? Like, some, because, you know, I'm sure that, you know, I'm talking about what I perceive from other people, but I'm sure that I'm in some of those things as well. But I'm aware that I need to break out of some of those. I wonder, like how much awareness do you think people have
of these things? On a spectrum. Mm-hmm. Even the most self-aware would still run into cycles of and I think, you know, if anything, we can just look at, like, physics as an answer. Like, what we tend to try to conserve energy as a system. We tend to try to limit, you know, like, make the system run as efficiently as possible without wasting energy. So the idea of, like, breaking out of those loops, or, like, breaking out of those roles, it takes energy. Like, it literally consumes, like, ATP. It consumes, like, physical energy to put in the thought, to put in the effort to change.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there are certain loops and things that are just, like, you know, they're there just because you're human. Like, we have, like, you know, we have needs that, you know, we need to drink water, we need to breathe, we need to reproduce, we need to, have our own space, a sense of space. So all of those loops are completely unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we might have a sense of awareness of them, but it's almost like maybe, and piggybacking on, like, the Ouroboros, like, ideal, maybe we're all in our Ouroboros loop until we become more of the Mobius and we
Here we go, the Mobius strip. There we go.
Because the moment, you know, you turn it inside out, then you're aware that you're eating outside yourself.
Constantly. Because you can see yourself at that point.
Yeah. You can see yourself. Like, I went the other way around, you didn't see yourself. You were just eating what was like, you were just being instinctive. Now you're seeing yourself.
Oh, Lord. Oh, shit.
So, and just because you see yourself doesn't mean you're out of the loop just yet. You're still eating yourself. You're still in Mobius strip. You're still going. Mm-hmm. So how do you break? How do you now pretty much take a circle and make a sphere?
I think the interesting thing to that is that there might not be an answer, because I think it's more interesting, at least right now, and in my perspective, is to first be aware of that process, right? Of like knowing that either you're in the Ouroboros or in the Mobius or traversing into the sphere. Because it's interesting to me, like how people, it's very Westworld. We were talking about it in that sense. It's very Westworld in the sense that we're like all in these programmed narratives. And we like to think that we're so much different from like AI or robots, or like how these stories really aren't talking about the human condition. But it's very interesting that we are much closer to the robot, and obviously I include myself in that statement. We're much closer to the robots in Westworld than we are to the people in that sense, because we are in those narratives and we are in those loops, and it's very hard to break free from them. But it's more important to like find that moment, like the main character's name. I forgot her name. Like the main character, when she finally becomes aware, right, that she's in a narrative and that she has to break from it. I think that's a more transcendental moment, because that's when, you know, you kind of see outside of yourself to an extent. And it's a thing that I wonder about a lot of the people that we interact with and that we look at, and like not just like friends or acquaintances or whatnot, but also how we see stories and see films and see all these shows, because there's a difference between like seeing them, watching them, but also how we internalize, right? And it's kind of the same thing, because if you're just going through life without kind of having the awareness of that situational awareness of what loop you're in, and you just watch these stories without any the awareness of like what it talks about, how they are talking about human condition, then how can we really talk about narratives in that sense, if that makes sense, you know? Because we're talking about the Night Sisters in X way and how they tie into Greek mythology, or how what Ahsoka is trying to say about X thing, or what The Last Jedi was talking about femininity and the goddess within, like, see all those things, and to us it's just like how those stories speak to us of a greater truth, and that's the truth of human condition. But it's very, I think I'm rambling at this point, so stop me if I'm not making sense. But like how we're able to like see these stories and how they can resonate with us by trying to extrapolate its greater meaning, and somehow we have to do that within our lives as well. And it's very baffling to me how some people don't do that, and how within even being stuck in those loops and seeing these stories that are trying to shake you, you know, free from the loop, and you kind of refuse it. It's like we were talking about Westworld, and now I'm going to jump into the Matrix. It's kind of like the Matrix when Morpheus says that we don't want to like free certain minds after a certain age because they refuse to accept the truth and type of thing. And I wonder if like there's a truth to that, and how some people just operate through life. Like, is it a moment where like they just don't want to accept that you know, that they're on a pre-programmed path, or that they've programmed themselves to have a pre-programmed path of like unquestioning progress, you know? Does that make sense? What do you think?
I mean, let me give you an analogy that might, and of course, I'll not no analogies perfect, especially if we're talking about consciousness. But think of matter. What are the states of matter? You have solid, you have liquid, you have gas, and you got plasma.
There we go. I was like, don't forget the last one.
technically, there are more. I just do not know the other two or three that are.
We're not NDT. It's okay.
But I digress. But so, you know, depending on the state of matter you're in, it might take more energy or less energy to go to another state of matter or to have your particles move around. So let's say someone that's very ingrained in their loop, it's more like a solid, you know, state.
Okay.
They always present that there's a certain like appeal to it, because there is a sense of stability.
Rigidity. Yeah.
Rigidity and continuity. But that means all of your atoms are so close together that there's no movement. So in order for change to come by,
you only technically there's a vibration.
There's always vibration. that's the beauty of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nikola Tesla kind of like implied it. Like, if you want to know the secrets of the universe, you just have to think in terms of energy and vibration.
Is the vibration between like all those atoms the reason that we can't go through solid matter?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the
resonance, right?
It's that
pulls you away.
There's so much. I mean, we technically, as solids, we can't even like approach the other solid, because the atoms are in such a way that they repulse all other atoms. So you can't even go through, because now, you know, if you were a very small particle or something with a very large amount of energy, then...
Because technically, it's atoms are mostly empty space. So it stands to reason that we're all mostly empty space. So it's we're all empty space. Why can't we just go through?
Everything pass? I mean, technically, if you were to vibrate at that specific resonance, you might be
like the flash does. Yeah. Anyway, but I derailed.
But going back into the analogy,
doing the cartwheel, bring it back.
So people that that have either by indoctrination, by their own choice, by their life circumstances, have become like solidified into a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's very hard for external things to change that, unless there's enough energy in that system to melt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are liquid people. There are those that conform. That means that you have a specific volume, but you conform your shape to the environment you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So these people might be able to have friends with different types of individuals. You know, they might have like friends with nerds. They might have friends with like cool kids. They might be able because they're able to retain their own identity, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. still be able to change their loops. But if you're given your container, you're still going to be in the same loops. So the difference between a solid and a liquid is that, you know, the liquid just has to break the container and it should be free. The solid still has a lot of work to do. Then you got gas people, you know, they don't have a volume defined. They don't have a defined volume and no defined form.
Mm-hmm.
So they conform to any space they don't care. Like, you know, I'm talking to a very close-minded person. That's okay. It'll shrink down to that volume because it's able to. But then, you know, it's able to also like spread around everywhere, like, and has that ability to see and understand those loops.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the system. And then there's plasma. It's when two gas people meet and there's that energy transfer that just charges everything. And then you have epiphanies, and it's like those mind-blowing conversations someone might have. And you're like just mind blown away by those conversations. You know, that's plasma happening. That's And that's when effective change does happen, because like any other matter source of plasma, it's going to eventually change. So those are the catalysts. Those are the breaking points. So no matter if you're solid, liquid, or gas, we're all still contained, because gas and liquid are contained by the containers. Solid is contained by its form.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy needed for each one to break free might be a little bit different, but we all have that capacity. It's just, for some of us, it might take longer. So maybe that old mind that Morpheus was talking, it's just a solid.
Mm-hmm,
and Morpheus might be still a liquid that can change into a solid.
Mm-hmm,
but if Neo, being a plasma, Neo can change the solid. So there's also like that degree of like how much effect you can have depending on your nature. And please do not go out there and make a new like cosmological system of like.
No, please. I'm sure.
Someone will be like, yes, my personality type is gas. Like, no, please don't do that.
Please do not do this. It's a metaphor. It's called metaphor. It's all metaphor from a Star Wars podcast. Star Wars podcast is not an authority on defining personality types.
It's not a psychological personality.
Don't put that on your dating profile. It's not going to help you. They might think you're a crazy person.
I think you're crazy, but that's okay.
You just tell that person after you match. It's like, oh, and then you blow their mind. But don't put it on the description first, because they'll be like, what the hell's wrong with this person?
After the first date, you invite them over. You can listen to the title of the fourth podcast, and then you'll be like,
yeah,
hey,
that is true. That is science. If you want to be very successful in your dating life, show your partner this podcast. They'll be like, they'll be impressed. They'll be like, oh, damn. This is a Star Wars podcast? Isn't this a Star Wars podcast? From Puerto Rican friends? I'm sold. Let's go. Let's get married right now. It's science.
It's proven. It's been proven.
And we have to say we're not in any way affiliated with Lucasfilm or the Walt Disney Company. So don't make that confusion. If you're listening to us and trying to use us to dating life. We don't have connections.
No. But Lucasfilm or Disney, if you're willing to pay us.
I will chill. I will chill so hard. Yeah. Like I'm waiting for that check. Like I know some people it's wild though. Like thankfully not a lot of people. Thankfully, oh my god. We've avoided that bullet. But a couple of people have accused us of being like Disney shills. I'm just waiting for a check. I'm just like, where's the check? Like, I don't like. How,
like, the like check? It, I want the, it. The why? Check comes. I will stop saying that.
Why did I have to? Exactly. I will say that. I mean, why did I have to pay for my holy grail here in a payment plan if Disney's sending me so many checks? If Disney were sending me a check, I would not have paid for the holy grail, my friends.
That will come. But it did not.
It looked great though. Like, it looks great. It's very good quality. Shout out to Regal Robot, the craftsmanship on the Holy Grail. Excellent. Looks just like the movie prop. Worth every single penny of my payment plan, because obviously I could not afford
it. Obviously, we cannot afford
it. Cannot afford it in a classic sense of like, here's actual money for it. Obviously, I have to do it in. In a couple of pay, I won't say how many, but it wasn't two. It was a little more. Less than 10. Anyway, but that's all interesting. And I think that it's even more interesting when you kind of like look at it, not just how it relates to us as people, right? But also how it relates to like the stories themselves, because it's wild to see how sometimes. And obviously there's a corporate element to this that doesn't allow writers and creators to go into the depths that they would like to, right? in some of these efforts. But yeah, we get stuck just watching the same thing and being regurgitated the same narratives, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because I remember Guillermo del Toro said something, I think it was this year, and I'm paraphrasing it, but Guillermo del Toro said every single story in humanity has already been told, but what hasn't happened is your voice and your voice telling that story and what your voice has to contribute to that narrative. It kind of like, it's very humbling if you think about it, because you also think about like our place in the universe and all these things. Like, yeah, like in the grand scheme of things, like what, like we're just one voice in this eternal cosmos and we're not going to change anything. But also our voice is the only one that's ever going to exist in it. So in some way it does matter. And I think that that's the crux of what Guillermo del Toro is also saying. It's just like, just because a narrative structure or a lesson or a story might be the same story, just because it's your version of it and your perspective gives it some meaning, because it's a different one that we've never heard before. It's the same story, but from your point of view, and that point of view matters. But it matters if you're, you know, aware that it's your point of view instead of you just reproducing an old story, right?
And that's where the crux is. Like, as long as you're making your story, you are making an impact on the universe. The moment you just start copying blindly, then that's when you just might as well just let the AI do the script, because like you're not putting your point of view.
Yeah.
And you're not putting your, I mean, and this might, because I don't have another word for it, but you're not putting your soul into it. Whatever that is. If it's just a collection of your neurological impulses, which is most likely what it is.
And that is what it is, yes. I'm not a betting person, but...
I'm not a betting person, and I experience a lot of spiritual shit, and I still think it is what it is.
I mean, because the spiritual, right? The spiritual is just like how we define an experience, right? It's just
the spiritual is just...
It's a lack for a better word type of thing, right?
Yeah, it's just the expression of our nervous system bypassing certain aspects of our ego.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it becomes transcendental. It's just an experience that is not defined by your day-to-day loop of an ego. And heck, if you're not aware, you might have one of those experiences, be like, fuck yeah. So there's X, Y, Z is the new God, and that's the reality. No, that's not how shit works. They're all stories. They're all tools. Like, every story is a tool. It's a tool to understand another person. Because it's kind of like piggybacking, like, on that Guillermo del Toro. It is the same story. Of course it is the same story. We're all humans. We're all going to experience love. We're all going to experience hate. We're all going to experience sadness. We're all going to experience life and death. That is the human nature.
Yeah, it is. Of course, it's
going to be the same story. It's just the circumstances changes. How they said to us in our Spanish class, los muñequitos cambian. That's it. You're just flipping the puppets and changing the background. But the story has to be the same, because we are the same species. The moment some other species come around, yes, the story will be different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the intricacy that counts. It's the... So that's the beauty of stories, like, to be able to transmit a neurological experience that my body has to some flesh, other flesh neurological being that can integrate that into their system. So it's like that mixture of vision and speaking. It's magic. If you think about it, it's going back to the Night Sisters. The first magic is just words. Being able to express things, that's the first act of magic we've ever done on this planet.
I dig it. There's depth. There's depth. And this is a very interesting episode. This feels like, ladies and gentlemen, if you're still in our NBA friends as well, if you're still listening to us, thank you. It was interesting because when we were wondering like what we were going to talk about today, we were, okay, let's talk about the Night Sisters and like how the Great Mothers and, you know, the Fates and all these things. But then it's just like, we'll be honest, we didn't prepare for it. And then we were like, we started talking about other things. And we're like, why don't we just talk about other things? Who cares? Who cares? So thank you for listening. We're like Bill O'Reilly. Fuck it, we'll do it live. And that's what we're doing. But this is really cool because it feels like we're in Rio Mar, basically. Rio Mar, for all of you that don't know, is a town on the West Coast, East Coast.
That's what happened.
East Coast, sorry. I was confused, East and West.
Northeast.
Northeast Coast of Puerto Rico. And when Mo and I were much, much younger, okay, not much, much, only much younger, we would go to Rio Mar with a friend of ours that he used to have, well, his parents have a beach house there. And, you know, we were teenagers and you do what teenagers do at the beach, you know, when parents aren't around. You partake in libations. And it was always very special because there was always a moment in the night where Mo and I would just go and talk about the science videos that we had watched that week. And we would think that we were so deep, but maybe it was deep. I don't know. I don't remember those conversations because we were drunk, but I know like at the next day we were just like, oh man, that was good. That was deep.
It felt deep, you know?
So it must have been, I guess. But it's nice to recreate this now, even through the distance, to be able to have a Rio Mar-ish conversation through podcasting. Yeah. It's immortalized now. It's immortalized.
It is immortalized.
People will know more or less what a Guzmo conversation can be.
Can be. Or kind of, well, maybe there's more like the kind of like, the song, like, you know, this is a tribute to those conversations.
Like Tenacious D, yeah. This is not the greatest conversation in the world. This is just a tribute.
It's just a tribute.
But a pretty good one. I'm happy with it. I know no one's going to listen to it because everyone's going to be like, what the hell are they talking about? This is a Star Wars podcast. But
okay,
it's a good one. But there's some good nuggets in there. You can tell that we've been, at least personally, I've been very existential the last couple of weeks. So like now talking about this.
Existential road.
There's a therapy to doing this to an extent.
And to all of those out there, yeah. Like I always like to quote, and I always forget who's who, but somebody with large wisdom and knowledge once said, communicated that it's best not to start the path, but if you're in the path, you just have to end it. You got no other option. So all of us out there in the path,
that's true.
This is part of the process of going through the path.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's one of those things that I, again, to like start bringing it back to Star Wars 2, it's one of those things that I feel that's very important when we're talking about. I mean, like people might say like, oh, why does talking about it have to be important? Can't you just like watch things and you know, whatever, why doesn't? But you know, it is important because this is, people take art for granted, but it's the thing that they have in their life the most, you know? It's like, they say like, oh, art doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about art, but every day they're going to sit down on a couch and watch Netflix or something. And they're watching art. Art is ubiquitous. Like it's all around us. Like we wear art. We're in buildings. Buildings are art. Like we are like, we're like expressing our lives through art. And because it's so ubiquitous, it's taken for granted. So I think that these discussions kind of deserve to have some measure of, you know, of seriousness. Not that we can't be jovial or, you know, take things in stride and stuff like that, but, you know, but I think stories deserve to have our attention, to have our attention in a good faith manner of criticism, right? And I, some of these like other channels that we see, the YouTubers that are like huge or whatever, that are just, you know, the negative, the toxic watchers, or just do it for clicks and don't really have anything constructive to contribute to the conversation, and just look at stories as content and just talk about it so that they can, you know, have a mass appeal to either spread some bad message or not care about what message they're spreading, as long as they kind of beat the algorithm type of thing. It's very sad. It's very sad and very scary too, because it's kind of creates a negative effect in terms of like how we're engaging in good faith with these stories. And I think that these stories deserve some respect because they're reflections of us, you know. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm taking it too seriously.
It's taking it back to, you know, what we were talking about at the beginning. Art is a tool for freedom. Art is a tool for expressing freedom. And perhaps the reason we don't feel that freedom is because we haven't explored more stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
or don't look at them critically, right? Because you can watch the most liberating story or the best, or read the best poetry, but if you don't want to go deep and you're only surface, then you're not going to get anything from it.
Yeah, absolutely. But even going surfacely, there is still an evocation of experience. There is still some sort of emotion
mm-hmm.
that is being invoked in each of us. So mm-hmm. the sharing part is, and the internalizing is the extra step. It's the,
right.
you know, not, you know, it's the integrating part also, because you can also analyze it and not integrate it. You can be critical and still not integrate that story. So, I don't know, maybe the trick is just to, you know, and this might just be a trick of mine, like, go in into like everything and be like, I'm going to imagine this was a product of my consciousness and mm-hmm. have to integrate it into, because yes, there is the story that's being written.
Mm-hmm.
That's one version. But then there's the story that's being received, and that's another version. There are two versions of every story. In fact, there are infinite versions because, you know, you get
bullshit like, multiverse. The
but think about it. That's why we have so many versions of Pinocchio. That's why we have so many versions of like the Green Story. The Green Bro. That's why, if you watch anime, like there's also always that underlying like very zen and like growing aspect of like, so all the stories are the same in that way.
Yeah.
It's just that each time they're read and received, they become a new story, and that's the beauty of it. Like we're just making an ever growing infinite low-key infinite machine of multiverses every time somebody reads a story, because he or sees a movie or sees a TV show, because heck, look at us, even in between this podcast, we've seen Star Wars, and there's still like differences in worldviews, even if we had grown in the same like environments, we went to the same like high school, like even with that background, there's still a plethora of interpretations. Imagine like from the perspective of the rest, like, and that's what we should be fomenting. Like,
it's true. Yeah, and not to cut you off, but I wanted to like piggyback on that point that you were saying about the plethora of experience in terms of like how like what like the things that we're listening to. And I think it's very interesting. I was talking about this with a buddy of mine last week. How somehow this last year, and I don't know if this was kind of a symptom of the strikes and like having, you know, less Star Wars out there to talk about or what, but I've definitely felt this year that the perspective of social media or other content creators of including diverse voices or making sure that they're, you know, being pushed out to the front so that other people have access to voices like ours and other minority groups has lessened a lot of late. Like, I feel like last year was very, very good. There was like a good peak, I feel, but I feel like now it's kind of quieted down a lot, and it's kind of very disappointing to see like how it, I don't want to say self-corrects because I don't think that's the right term, but like how these circles self-correct in a way to expunge what was trendy. Yeah, like trendy, it was so trendy like a couple of years ago to be inclusive and like have all these let me invite all these POC content creators or LGBTQ plus content creators, but now it's just like, oh, that's not cool anymore. Let's just focus again on like who is the protagonist of this, and it's always like kind of the same old crowd. It's kind of disappointing because not that some of them don't have like things to say or contribute, but for the most part, there's a uniform of experience that kind of washes what they talk about in the same color, so to speak, so that it's very monotone in terms of the variety of experiences and opinions. And some of other voice, I'm not saying that ours is the most diverse or deep voice, but this is, but I can only talk for ourselves.
It's a voice.
It's a voice. Like the King's Speech, I have a voice. Our voices and others of peers like us is that deserve to be like, you know, leaders in the conversation somehow have been, you know, ignored, but forgotten.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like that same effect of like, you know, we're living in a capitalist world. It's, we're doing diversity because it's what the market wants.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing diversity because, you know, it's important.
Because it's the right thing to do, yeah.
Or the right thing to do. It's just, they'll just do diversity whenever it lines up their pockets. And whenever it doesn't, fuck diversity. Like, that's their separate. You know? Like, and it goes back to, like, what you mentioned. Like, it's unfortunate how it's weird because it feels that right now might be the moment in history where anyone that's creative can have the most access to the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's an illusion because if it's not, you know, the algorithm that doesn't pick you up, if the institutionalized, like, oh, this is what we're going to work with. If you don't fall in there, then no one's going to see you. Because, like, yeah, maybe you post something, but it'll never show up to the rest of the world. So then it just forces people to be very homogeneous and very boring. Mm-hmm. That sense. Like,
you gotta appeal to the least common denominator.
Yeah, and it's so it takes away from art. It takes away that whole aspect of like, this is both a creative process where the artist gives away that part of himself, somebody else to take that part of the artist and insert it to themselves. Because at the end of the day, that's the relationship between the artist and the art sphere. I don't know what the art
and the audience.
And the audience, I guess. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe you can like speak more to it as an architect, but like, isn't that the whole point? Like that relationship between the art and the living space, like the whole idea of like when I don't know, maybe I'm rambling. I don't know
what. No, you're not rambling, and it's a good point. Because to that, like there's a duality, right? At least in terms of architecture, and I'm sure that in storytelling as well, there must be some parallel to it. But with architecture, yeah, there's a duality of like two things that we do, right? Like one is like how the object is perceived by the people that will be in active use of it. But also there's another aspect of like what, how some parts of it need to function or be done so that you don't perceive them. You know, so it's like some things need to work well in a way that like if you don't notice it, it's working well. Right. So like it's a, like it's a, it's an interplay of like both of those things. It's just like, okay, how do we make things that like are front facing that people will interact with and have like a good experience with, but also how are these things that are happening behind the scenes that need to be thought out just as much, if not more so, but you're supposed to not even see it. It's like it, which is I think one of the most interesting things that like half, if not more, of our of my job is to make sure that you don't even notice some things. Like so much effort to make something that you don't even notice it. Type of thing. Because if you noticing, if you notice it, I did my job wrong. And right, I failed. So and I'm sure that there's a lot of things like that too, like in storytelling. Like there must be things that like have to function in a way that you don't even notice that it's happening.
Well, even think about it like a TV set. Like if all the work that has to go for something to look normal and not fake versus mm-hmm. like if you see a set that's all CGI, you immediately it's fake. Like you so like those small details like of like the background, the music, the everything that's like hidden but there, like we see like I at least in Star Wars the best ones have been the ones that have all of that hidden.
It's hidden and there's a payoff if you discover it.
Yes. It's hidden in plain sight. It's there for you to make it feel real. But at the same time. If you want to like dig into it, then it's like a marvelous world of like details and
mm-hmm.
complexities. And heck, isn't that the parallel with like life? Like if I go to a hill and stand outside and there's only one tree, I might think, oh, there's only one tree. But then, you know, I go to the tree and then there's leaves, there's like trunk, there's life in the tree. Then if you go into the microscopic world, there's an infinite complexity going on that it's all hidden. The complexity is usually hidden in plain sight.
Right.
Like our own hands, it's just hands, but then like everything that's going, like working together, all the cells that are working together, all the chemical signals that are going just for me to be like, oh, it's a hand.
Right.
It's mind blowing. Like, and I think that is that's art. That's the how do you make the mundane real and the real extraordinary?
Right. Oh man, it's deep. This is definitely a very interesting episode because it's so. I have no idea what this episode is about, but I loved every single minute of it. So I kind of want to do more episodes like this. The Mobius Hour, we might want to call it. I don't know, or something like that.
The Ouroboros / Mobius Hour.
Yeah, we'll need to workshop a name there. it'll definitely be a Trial of the Force spinoff. This won't be like a main. a main episode. This will be like a bonus, maybe like a monthly bonus episode or something like that we can do.
It'll serve both as therapy and as
exactly
extra content out there.
I agree. This will be. I mean, obviously we'll release it, but they'll be for us, really.
this the episode that's for us.
It's for us. You can listen to it, and if you enjoy it, even better. But they'll be for us. This is definitely a lot of fun. We could be talking about this forever, but you don't want to listen to us talk about it forever. But I'm very excited for sure to like keep having like these conversations in the future, and like when more Star Wars stories come out, see how we can definitely plug all these things into how these stories manifest themselves and how they relate to us in those ways. Because I think that's when it's most interesting. Is like when stories get a visceral reaction from us that make us feel some deeper thought than just like, well, you know, this is, you know, plot A, plot B, plot C, and like how they come together and what blah, 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 blah. Three act structure. Yeah, that's all fun too, but we want to feel things as well and like feel things the way that we've been feeling them today. without a topic. So now, like, I have to figure out what the episode artwork's going to be, because it's not what I thought it was going to be originally. So I'll need to figure this out, because this is, it's fun. But definitely looking forward to...
You know what? It could be the chalice.
Just random. Just non sequitur. It's like, boom. Non sequitur.
Boom.
Like, watch out, polar bears.
Watch out. That's it.
Hey, maybe that'll be the episode of the name. Watch out, polar bears. Hey, thanks, Adrian Brito. You made it. You made it to try it.
You made it.
You weaseled your way into everything. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to 2024 and a lot more Star Wars stories, so that we can delve deep and really have fun conversations like this one. Like I said, I think we still have like maybe one more, two more episodes to go for the end of the year, but we're gonna, you know, keep it light, keep it fun, so that we can end this year in a, not a high note, but a pleasant note, because it's been definitely a difficult year for podcasting and life, notwithstanding, obviously. So thank you, Mo. Thank you for coming back. I know, yeah, you're in a fun capacity at Triad, coming in for moments like this to just, you know, impart us with your Mobius wisdom, which is always definitely appreciated. But with that being said,
much appreciated.
And yeah, I'll see you soon, because I'm flying to Puerto Rico soon, so we'll go to the beach. But yeah, we can finally
do an episode where all the three of us in the same room.
We should. Yeah, that would be great. It'll be weird to be like, wait, are we looking at the camera? Are we looking at each other? Like, what's going on? I don't know. It'll be crazy, but we'll figure it out. But yeah, that would be Trial of the Force together in one room. But until then, like, we have been Trial of the Force in separate rooms, in separate states, in separate pieces of land. Connected by the magic of the internet through Zoom. So thank you so much for sticking with us, if you have, throughout this question mark of an episode. We definitely appreciate it. Like I said before, if you haven't already, please make sure to share, like, subscribe, leave a comment if anything that we said resonated with you, or even if it didn't, like, tell us that you don't want to hear about it, and we'll think about it for a while. But yeah. Thank you so much. We haven't tried out the Force. Hope you have a great day, and that the lead up to the holidays is wonderful. And until next time, may the Force be with you.